This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Good evening. Well, with one piece of the downtown recovery puzzle falling through, San Francisco businesses are hoping a good party will bring people back 4 years after the pandemic. Office vacancy rate hit another high. The commercial real estate firm CBRE says 37% of the city's offices are empty. So the good news, it's only a small increase from the quarter before, and more companies are showing interest in moving downtown. The University of California, however, is not one of them. Mayor London Breed has been courting the school to open a campus downtown. But UC made its decision just a few days ago, saying it just doesn't have the money. Business owners invested in downtown's future are disappointed. But as Max Darrow shows us, they are excited about the potential for new entertainment zones to liven up the streets.
As Tristan Philippart DeFoy heads into his downtown restaurant, Heartwood, he walks into a scene that no restaurant owner wants to see during a lunch hour.
It's very boom or bust right now. We can either have bustling crowds of 15 to 20 people dining during a lunchtime, or we can be completely empty like this. And that lack of consistency makes it very hard.
Nonetheless, he gets to work on running his business and thinking of ways downtown can get back in business.
Creatives and operators like myself are more than willing and able to be a part of this. We just need the tools to succeed.
Since the University of California has officially pulled the plug on becoming his neighbor in San Francisco, which was one potential piece of the downtown recovery roadmap, says he'd like to see the city redirect its efforts.
And I think the primary focus has to be making it easier to do business in San Francisco, because at this point, it's just the cost is just too great. I believe one of the best paths forward is to figure out a grant system that's focused on helping people who have track records of success and for people who want to get established in the city.
With the campus idea off the board, it leaves space for new ones to Duncan Lai.
So we need to move forward. So what? It's a lot of little things.
He and his business partners took over Harrington's Bar and Grill earlier this year, all of whom are movers and shakers in the restaurant and nightlife industry who had never focused on downtown before.
So it's got to be something different, and that's what we're here to do, is be a part of the next phase.
Outside of people making a full return to the office, he says finding new footing downtown will take a full board of ideas and changes.
Less red tape, more incentives, but also some like just creative pilot projects. This business opening, that business opening, converting one building into residential, doing a trial on some adaptive parking concepts in the neighborhood. Just a lot of little things.
He's got his eyes on downtown opening the first entertainment zone, where restaurants and bars will be able to sell alcoholic beverages outside during events and activations.
And I think once you're down here and you start seeing it, it's very attractive to put some roots in downtown San Francisco.
I would love to be a part of a successful San Francisco.
Philippart DeFoy doesn't regret his decision to open a spot downtown last year. He just says he's tempered his outlook a bit, from optimism to what he calls delayed optimism.
Ed, I do think it's going to happen. It's just things in San Francisco tend to happen at a snail's pace, and I think that's the reality that we're facing at this point.
That, and in his case, the challenge of consistent inconsistency.
All right, more on those entertainment zones. The pilot program will involve three bars, including Harrington's. It will allow them to shut down part of Front Street from time to time and serve alcohol outdoors. The entertainment zones could also include live performances and other activities. This week, supervisors signed off on a plan that could expand them to other neighborhoods. The mayor's office says businesses in Thrive City, outside Chase Center, Mid Market, and Union Square have also shown interest. Separately, there is another plan in the works to clean up other downtown public spaces, including the plaza right by the Powell Street cable car turnaround. That is all contingent on a $360 million bond proposal. The money would also be spread across three other categories: the renovation of hospitals, shelter and housing for homeless families, and road safety projects. Today, Mayor Breed and Board President Aaron Peskin, who are running against each other for mayor, put their differences aside and they urge supervisors to put that bond measure on the November ballot.
After COVID, we realized there are a lot more things we need to invest in to ensure that our city is vibrant, that our organizations are supported, that our buildings and infrastructures are intact, and that we are thinking about the future and our economic recovery.
Yes, many of us up here have our differences, but we are all together on this bond.
Nice to see. Supporters are promising no new property taxes or higher rents. If it makes it on the ballot, it needs a two-thirds majority to pass. Oakland Mayor Sheng Tao was spotted doing official business for the first time today since last week's FBI raid at her home. She was at the MTC Commission meeting in San Francisco, where officials approved a $20 billion affordable housing bond measure for the November ballot. She left the meeting early, and an aide came to retrieve her things. So the Oakland Council has to pass a budget by the end of this week, and a big piece of that puzzle is the partial sale of the Coliseum. But as Wilson Walker shows us, the council is already preparing for a worst-case scenario, which includes tens of millions of dollars in cuts.
I also want to make it very clear that the item in front of us is about the purchase and sale agreement for this project for future economic development at the Coliseum. Our budget item is a separate item that we will discuss on Friday.
This was not the official budget discussion, but it certainly involved a big piece of it. Without the Coliseum land sale, city officials are now considering an alternative budget contingency that would declare a kind of financial emergency, cutting some $60 million, freezing 78 police positions and 5 fire companies.
So basically, it's almost impossible for a city council to support those things. But I suppose if the Coliseum deal isn't real or falls through, I don't know what choices they have.
Former city manager Dan Lindheim says the real budget problems are systemic, namely a reliance on parcel transfer taxes, and the one-time relief of the Coliseum sale is a kind of Band-Aid.
And I don't begrudge using the Coliseum money if it's part of a plan to buy time and we're going to do X, Y, and Z moving forward. But if you're just going to balance the budget by selling the Coliseum and not do anything else, then you're just kicking the can down the road a year, and then you're in a real disaster a year from now.
By way of a purchase and sale agreement with a purchase price of $105 million, with at least $60 million received in this next fiscal year.
City staff said the sale negotiations are continuing every single day, but there's no timetable, and there are more questions about how the payments would be delivered.
And so what I'd like to know, based on what we've heard, is that, you know, on the first escrow deposit, you're only going to get XYZ. On the second one, you get this amount. On the third one, you get that amount.
There may be multiple payments that satisfy the 60 or more, but that's all subject to negotiation. That is ongoing right now, and the ordinance delegates to the city administrator the ability to get to those fine point details.
Members of the African American Sports and Entertainment Group were on hand, but they too offered no time frame for a deal.
There's an opportunity for us to create jobs, to create something new, to create opportunity for the most impacted communities in our city. And so we're very much supportive of it and hope that you will vote for it.
I asked Ray Bobbitt directly whether or not they would get this deal worked out in time for Oakland to know what it means for the budget. He said he did not have an answer for that, and the other questions he just couldn't talk about because of the negotiations. City budget's supposed to be done by Friday, but City Council discussed giving itself an additional 5 possible days to work things out. The city says it needs the first $15 million to stave off those budget cuts by the 1st of September. Whether or not that is going to happen, that is now anyone's guess.
Boy, time's not on their side or money. So we heard from the Oakland Firefighters Union today. They said they are already stretched so thin they can't afford the closure of one fire station, let alone 5.
We have reached a tipping point where we are almost unable to do the job that the citizens of Oakland expect us to do because we are so busy and so overworked and responding to so many calls. So making that even worse by closing stations will have catastrophic effects on the citizens of Oakland.
We also heard from the Oakland Police Union. We will have their response to the budget crisis coming up at 11 o'clock.